I love some of these stories, but the Bible character we're going to do today, as you have it in your hand, is going to be the Good Samaritan. That's a very familiar story, probably to many of you. Maybe it's not familiar to you. I don't know your background, all of you, but a very familiar story, the Good Samaritan. I'm in Luke chapter 10. I'm going to begin back verse number 25. Let's read along. Verse number 25. Jesus is in the midst of teaching as he goes. Everywhere he went, he would draw crowds, and there was a teachable moment. And he would use parables as a teachable moment. My definition of a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And so he would tell an earthly story that these people could understand, but there was a real heavenly meaning, a kind of a biblical meaning to it. And he's trying to teach them to where they could understand. He was kind of a master teacher. Master teacher is you know your audience and know what they know and know what they don't know and make sure you teach it on a level they can understand. And so Jesus is about to teach them something. So he says here in verse number 25, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him." Now remember, I told you, you can't overlook the little words. Tempted him. Well, here's what they were doing. Religious people of the day wanted to tempt Jesus because they wanted to trick him. They wanted to ask him questions. They were always in a crowd. They wanted to ask him a question. They would trick him. And so they felt like they needed to trick him. And so this young lawyer stood up in the crowd and he says, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said in verse number 26, he says, What is it that's written in the law? How do you read it?" So he turned it back on him. He said, "How do you read it?" And he answered and said, "Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, with all your mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." Well, verse number 28, he said to him, "Thou hast answered right. You did good. You went to church. You went to Sunday school." Not really. You knew enough about the Hebrew law that you've answered this right. And so he says, "This you do, and you shall live." So the young lawyer is perplexed now. So he comes back in verse 29, and he says, "But be willing to justify himself." He said to Jesus... See, he didn't want to look like a goober. That's what that means, willing to justify himself. He didn't want to look bad in a crowd. So he's still trying to trick Jesus. So he's still trying to tempt Jesus. And he says, "Well, let me ask you a question. Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answered him, said, now this is where we begin the parable. "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his clothes, his raiment, and wounded him, beat him up, and departed him and left for dead, leaving him half dead." Not whole dead, but half dead. Verse 31. "And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, a religious person, a holy man, a priest that day. And when he saw the man, he bent down and ministered to him." No, he passed by on the other side of the road. "And likewise a Levite," another religious man, "when he was at the place, came and looked at him and passed by on the other side also. But a certain Samaritan..." And let me go ahead and tell you right now, you already know this, the Samaritans and Jews didn't get along with each other. They didn't mix. "A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and setting him on his own animal, his donkey, his beast, and brought him to an inn to take care of this man." Verse 35. "On the next morning, when he departed, he took out 2 pence money, and he gave it to the innkeeper, the host, and he said to him, 'You take care of him, and whatsoever you spend is more than these 2 pence, when I come again, I will repay you.'" Verse 36, "Which now of these three thinketh you," Jesus said, "was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" This is a very familiar story. The Samaritans and Jews didn't mix. Samaria was right above Judea, the country of Judea, Samaria, and Galilee at the top. And what they would do to go from Judea up to Galilee... they would have to go through Samaria, which they didn't want to do. So they would go around to the side of Samaria where the mountains were, and they would take their travel through the mountain area to get to Galilee. They'd rather do that than to go straight through Samaria. Because they didn't want to, oil and water doesn't mix, and Samaritans and Jews didn't mix. This time, though, right outside of Jericho, this man fell among thieves. A Jewish man fell among thieves, and a religious person came by, a priest, and he saw the man, and the Bible said he walked over to the other side of the road, passing by. Another religious man came by, did likewise. Then all of a sudden, this Samaritan comes by, and he stops. And he fixes this man up, takes him into the inn, trying to heal him and put bandages on him, and told the innkeeper, whatever it takes over what I'm paying you in order to take care of this man, you do it and I'm going to repay you. And so Jesus then asked this young lawyer, who's your neighbor? Who's your neighbor? This legal expert in chapter 10 asked Jesus the question, and in reply, Jesus told him the story. I'm telling you, there's three types of people in this story here. I love this story. There are three types of people in this story. Number one, it's right there in your Bible. Number one is the people that say, what's thine is mine and I'm going to get it. These are your thieves. It's still happening today that people will rob and steal from you and me and anybody they can, and they think what's thine is mine and I'm going to take it. And so these thieves came down and they found this guy, this Jewish fella, and they beat him up for what he had, took everything he had, and had almost all of his clothes, took it away. And this person has a concept that they can profit from other people's accomplishments. And that's what thieves do. They profit from somebody else's accomplishment or hard work without any remorse or guilt. Isn't it amazing our society where you just don't see any remorse or guilt other than they got caught. But this has always been a problem in our society, and it probably always will. It has nothing to do with nationality or culture or the water system we're in. Man's heart is basically deviant. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. These are unsaved people acting like unsaved people. He lives the life of what I call a taker. He's a taker. The second type of person you see in here is the one who has a living by the concept in verse number 31 and 32, is what's mine is mine and I'm going to keep it. This person sees himself as a self-made person, accomplishing pursuits and accomplishing and collecting stuff as a result of his own ability. And what happens, this person seldom ever considers other people, pretty much narcissistic, more concerned about themselves, and they don't want to let go of anything they have. Probably the ultimate narcissist person is that parable in Luke chapter 12, verse 16 of the rich man. You remember? He was the one that had that plentiful crop, the Bible says, but he had a problem. His barns were too small to hold the plentiful crop. And so he says, oh me, what am I going to do? And it says in the Bible, he says, oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to build bigger barns so I can store my crop. He had no concept of helping other people. He had no concept of giving. He had concepts of keeping. He was a keeper. That's what he was. And his concept was, mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it. He had no concept what's all to help other people. He wouldn't do it. But back to our story in Luke 10, these religious leaders went out of their way to not stop and help. He went across the road. They went out of their way not to stop and help. And so they went on the other side of the road. Besides, stopping would take time away. Take time, and stopping you might take some money. Oh, we don't want to do that. And stopping to help you might look bad. Why? Because their reputation. They couldn't stop and help this man. Couldn't help him. The person that lives the life of a keeper, hold on to everything you have. What's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it. Then the third person, type of person that's in this, says, what's mine is thine, and I'm going to give it. This good Samaritan went the second mile. Thank God for people like this, the compassion they have. This taker definitely did not have compassion, and the keeper definitely did not have compassion. So this person stopped what he was doing, and he took what he had, and he bound this man up to bind up his wounds. He went out of his way to put him up on his donkey and take him to an inn where there would be some help there that we could leave him. And he took money out of his pocket to pay for the assistance. And I remember years ago when I was studying different cults, I read a book called The Cults Are on the Grow While the Church is Status Quo. And back then, it was very, the thing I understood is what goes on with cults today is they will do their best to find somebody in need and meet that need. Here, you need a jacket? Here, you can have mine. Hey, you need a place to sit down? Here, sit here. They go out of their way to help people that are in a need. And at times our churches, if we're not careful, at times our churches, we could be almost like the ones that go to the other side of the road here. But this third person here says, what's mine is thine, and I'm going to give it. The Good Samaritan went the second mile, and there's a real principle here. Jesus used this parable, this earthly story with a heavenly meaning, to answer this legal expert's question in verse number 29, who is my neighbor? This is where our church came with what we call, we think it's not just a slogan or a saying, but being living proof of a loving God to a watching world. Your church here does a real good job of helping people, don't they, Bobby?
Yes, sir.
I have the privilege of officing across the street where Bobby works with Helping Hands, and it's amazing the number of people that come in there every week that most of this church don't even know about that find their way to Helping Hands. And we have a Dr. Jim has a principle over there that if we have it, you can have it. If we don't have it, you can't have it. You know, but if we have it, you can have it. And we try our best to meet all the needs we can. So your church has a wonderful reputation of not walking over to the other side, but trying to meet the needs. We do our best of vetting these people, because we have a long computer file of people that are multi-users. And we know. And so after a while, what Jim does, he tries to help them. He tries to help them to understand the situation they're in. And can we help you not go in this situation again? In other words, what's going to happen next month? I mean, well, I can help you today, but what's going to happen next week? And so we do our best to be redemptive to these people. But your church here has a wonderful concept of like the Good Samaritan here, of we're going to help people. Probably what it comes down to it, the answer to the question, verse number 29, is who is my neighbor? We come down to it's one of three things. Either we are a taker. Brother John has always said there are basically two types of people in the world, givers and takers. And he kind of spoke about it this morning, didn't he? He spoke about it this morning, givers and takers. And so as a strong believer, you want to be a giver, and we do our best doing that. Or in this, like this parable, are you a keeper? You're going to keep what you have and not share with anybody else where there's a need. Or are you a giver? And givers are probably the most happiest people there are in the scripture. And so it's really something. I was waiting to come in here this morning, and the class before us was doing a lesson, and Mike Schumacher was teaching, and I noticed up on the screen, they were teaching on the prodigal son and the three characters of the prodigal son. I thought, golly, didn't I just do that? Then I came in today knowing Brother John talked about giving and how you, what's your attitude toward money and everything. And like he said, some are either givers or they're going to be takers. And so I hope this group will always be in a position of being givers, that we take care of some people and the needs they have, and we have demonstrated that. The Good Samaritan is a person that was living proof of a loving God to a watching world. It wasn't the religious guys. It wasn't the Levite. It wasn't the priest. But even the ones that represented God, not the religious leaders, but it's the one that religious leaders of the day scorned. Somebody that wasn't really thought he was anybody. He bent down to help this person. Who are you in the dark? Who are you in the dark when no one's watching? How do you act? What do you behave? I heard a lot of stories in my life. One of them was this guy that retired, And he would go downtown where they were building this big building, and they had the, you know, the barricades around this big hole in the earth where they were going to build a high-rise building. And they had all the steam shovels down there and the bulldozers and all that. And he would go every morning, and he'd get him a cup of coffee, and he would stand there at the fence, and he would watch these men work. He was amazed at them, at all their ability to build something like that, and they're just men with machinery. And so, is that the Gadarene demoniac over next door? Yeah. And so he would watch every day. And then finally one day, after about 3 weeks, one of the workers came by, and he says, I notice you come out here every day. He says, why do you do that? He says, I'm just amazed at you guys, what y'all can do. And I just come out here, I'm retired, and I come, and I like to watch you guys build this stuff and do this stuff. And he's, and the guy says, you mean you're not the boss? Who are you in the dark when no one's looking? Who are you in the dark when no one's looking? The Good Samaritan is a great, great story for us. And I, for years and years and years, it didn't take long. I knew I didn't want to walk on the other side of the road. I know I get myself in situations maybe I shouldn't get involved in, but I'm not going to walk on the other side of the road. Some of you, I know a lot of you have come into our church at different stages of its life. You need to know that there's a story years ago at the beginning of our church, back when we just had a few people meeting in that chapel on Hughes Road, that we had a lady, her name was Mickey Lightfoot. Now, Bobby, you remember this, I know. Mickey Lightfoot, she was a grandmother, and her grown sons were here, and her grandchildren were here at our church. And she had terrible bad health, to the point that she couldn't even come to church. And her father was still living. And one night, on a Tuesday night, her father put her in the back seat of his car and drove over to Brother John's house over on Sage River. That's where he lived when we started this church. And knocked on his door and said, Brother John, I got my mother in the car, and her stomach is distended out, and she's in a tremendous amount of pain, and the hospitals won't take her because they owed money to the hospitals. And I'm not getting on the hospitals, but they just wouldn't do that. And so Brother John told him to take her down. I'm not going to tell you the hospital. Take her down to the hospital and wait. And so he called me and about three deacons, and we met together at the church. And our church was very small then. We were going into a little bitty building program, nothing like this, just a little bitty building program. We were fixing to hire our fourth staff member. We were going to hire Brother Bill Moore, associate pastor. And there was only four others of us were on staff there. And this was a big deal for our church. Our budget was tight. We were going into a building program, and we were fixing to hire another staff member. Let me tell you what, folks, we could have walked to the other side of the road. And so we decided right then, whatever it takes, we're going to take care of this woman. And we drove down to that hospital, and the hospital administrator met us in the emergency room, and Brother John told him, this church is going to be good for her hospital bill if you'll let her in. Now, hospital bills are pretty expensive, but Brother John made a commitment to that hospital that we were going to take care of this woman, who at this point hasn't been able to give anything to this church, but she was in need, and they took her in, and they took care of her, and about 2 months later, Mickey Lightfoot passed away. Now, folks, we couldn't go to the other side of the road. We couldn't say, well, we're fixing to hire a staff member. We're fixing to build a new building. We're just a small church. We can't do much. But I don't know if you would call it stupidity or faith, but Brother John on blind faith said, we're going to pay for our hospital bill, whatever it is. And we did. And our church hadn't looked back since then. And it set the pace for our church of being living proof of a loving God to a watching world. You needed to hear that story of Mickey Lightfoot. It's a wonderful, wonderful story. Of really the Good Samaritan. May we have an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. May we learn a lot of things from these Bible characters that are in there. Some of these Bible characters I'm going to teach you, I don't want you to learn from them. But some of them I do want you to learn from them. And this one, may you learn from the Good Samaritan. May he put aside what he did, his nationality, the Jews and the Samaritans. And he took care of this man that was in need, that was left for half dead. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this Bible character, this Good Samaritan. I thank you for this story. May it be ingrained into us that we are our brother's keeper. We're to take care of people. We're to do our best to take care of people. May we not be so religious that we wear our collar on backwards, but may we help people in need and be living proof of a loving God to a watching world.